This is your handout for tonight. Aiden will get them to you here in a minute. And somebody help him. Let's get this done quickly. And I want you to go there. I came across that chart, and it was just so simple, yet informative, but I couldn't find any way to get it up here, so I'm going to give you a copy. And hopefully this will help you, because when you get into the capturing of Jerusalem by Babylon, it can get a little confusing because there were three different times when this happened. And so this chart is to help you understand that. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and we'll get into our lesson and hopefully share that chart with you and some other things out of chapter 29. Father, again, we thank you for this book that you've given to us. Lord, our heart just goes out to Jeremiah every time we read about him. He felt alone. He felt all of the pressure put upon him. He was a voice crying in the wilderness. Nobody wanted to listen. And he was hated for telling the truth. And Lord, we know that oftentimes that's the result of sharing what you said with people. And it's not because they really hate us, they just hate what we're saying. They're hating the message, but they take it out on the messenger. Help us tonight, once again, to put the pieces of this together so we'll have a greater understanding. You put it in here for us to glean from it, to understand it, that it might help us in our Christian walk. Speak to us tonight as only you can. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's look at this chapter. The Bible says, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah the king, and the queen, and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem. By the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Now understand, this is God speaking. This is what Jeremiah wrote to the people and said, this is what God said. And he's writing to those who had already been carried away. He says, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which he caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name, I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Because he hath said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon. Know that thus saith the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David and of all the people that dwelleth in this city and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. And I will persecute them with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence and will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and an astonishment and a hissing and a reproach among all the nations whither I've driven them. Because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them. But ye would not hear, saith the Lord. Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab, the son of Kolaiah, and of Zedekiah, the son of Maaseiah, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. And of them shall be taken up a curse by all the captivity of Judah, which are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make thee like Zedekiah, and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire, because they have committed villainy in Israel and have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them. Even I know and am witness, saith the Lord. Thus shalt thou also speak to Shemaiah the Nehelamite, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, because thou hast sent letters in thy name unto all the people that are at Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, and all the priests, saying, the Lord hath made thee priest in the stead of Jehoiada, the priest, that ye should be officers in the house of the Lord. For every man that is mad and maketh himself a prophet, that thou shouldest put him in prison and in the stocks. Now therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah of Anathoth, which maketh himself a prophet to you? For therefore he sent unto us in Babylon, saying, this captivity is long. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. And Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, send to all them of the captivity, saying, thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehelamite, because that Shemaiah hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah, the Nehelamite, and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among his people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord, because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord. Now let's look at this chapter. There's a lot there. We're going to try to break it down and give you a little clearer understanding. And the first thing we need to see, God is telling Jeremiah to tell the people, wait for God's time. God is working something here. And it's all going to work in God's time, not theirs. And so the first thing we notice in this chapter is Jeremiah writes to them, and he tells them to settle in. And that's in the first seven verses. Now, In this chapter, there's two different letters. And the first letter was written from Jeremiah to the people in general who had been carried off to Babylon. Now remember, not everybody was carried off right away. We're going to see on our chart, three different times Babylon came and took people. And so this is probably the second time there. And there's people over in Babylon that have been carried off. There's people in Jerusalem, Jews, that still hadn't been carried off. Jeremiah is one of them. But he's left in Judah to keep crying out to Judah to repent and to yield to what's going to happen to them. We'll see that a little later. He tells the people of Jerusalem, don't fight the Babylonians. That's what he told them. God is doing this. You'll live if you'll just give up. They'll carry you off. 70 years later, you'll come back. But they wouldn't listen. They said he was a traitor. And they hated him. But Jeremiah knows God has a plan and God has a message and God's working something here. And he's trying to tell them about it. So he sends this letter. And he encouraged them to just settle down there in Babylon because they're going to be there for 70 years. God was not going to bring them back for 70 years. And so he writes to those people, and we'll see how he tells them. And then, at the end of that time, the Lord's going to deliver them according to his plan. But a false prophet over there in Babylon wrote back to Jerusalem and Judah saying that Jeremiah was a traitor and he ought to be arrested. And Shemaiah is the man's name. And he says that Jeremiah is a false prophet. So, settle in. First seven verses of the chapter. And Jeremiah tells him, this is the time frame. Now, get your little chart out here. You see a first, second, and third deportation. You see the date of those deportations. You see that? One was 605 BC, one was 597 BC, and one was 586 BC. So there would be an overtaking of Jerusalem and Judah and some carrying off, and then there would be a time lapse. Notice the different kings. Jehoiakim was king in 605. Jehoiachin, by the way, he is mentioned down here. Let me find it in verse. Babylon, Jeconiah, there in verse 2. You see Jeconiah? Okay, he is the same man as Jehoiachin there. So you might want to put under Jehoiachin, Jeconiah. See, that can get confusing when you're reading if you don't have that. And then in 586, Zedekiah was the king. Zedekiah reigned for 11 years. And he fought the final battle, really. Then underneath that, if you want to go through the scriptures and see the sequence of events from the scriptures, they're listed there where you can go and look. Now, in 605, we see those who the Bible tells us were taken to Babylon. And the first captivity, Daniel and the other young men and some of the temple vessels and Jehoiakim, actually Jehoiakim died before he was taken. But in the first, when Daniel was carried off, that's right there in that first deportation. Then the second one, Jehoiachin, Ezekiel, skilled people and temple valuables. Now, look up here. When you read Ezekiel, remember, he's captive. He's over in Babylon when you read Ezekiel, all right? And then the third captivity, Zedekiah, and that's when almost all the people now were carried off in the final destruction of Jerusalem and the temple and it was just decimated. All right, so I would put this in my Bible and kind of keep it. And if I'm into Jeremiah, into Ezekiel, into Daniel, maybe some of this will help you. Okay? All right, put that aside. And then we see Jeremiah, the background here, and he's writing to them, those who are carried away. And notice he says, to the captives, to the priests, to the prophets, and to all the people. So this letter is addressed to everybody. And he talks about who was carried off in verse 2. The princes of Judah and Jerusalem and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem. And then in verse 3, he tells us, apparently, he's explaining there that there was some kind of communication going on between Nebuchadnezzar and the leaders in Jerusalem. And that's how this letter was carried, that there was communication. All right? And then in verse 4, we find this. He establishes that God is sovereign. He says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, watch this, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Jeremiah didn't cause them to be carried away. He's writing the letter saying what God said. And God is telling those people, I did this. I am sovereign. I rule on this earth. And I'm using Babylon to chastise you. You are where you are because I ordained this. I planned this. I did it. And he goes on. He says that God is sovereign. See, these people of Judah that were carried away had all these questions about why is all this happening to us? They've been captured and carried away, and they're saying, where's God? He's supposed to protect us. We're his chosen people. And God is saying, wait a minute. We got a little issue here. Number one, you've refused to honor me with the Sabbath for 70 years. And number two, you've turned your back on me, and so now you're going into captivity for 70 years. And it's by my design. I'm sovereign. All right, we see the sovereignty of God there. And then in verses 5 through 7, Jeremiah tells them, wait on him. In verse 6, 5 and 6, we saw how he says, he's saying to them, get comfortable where you are because you're going to be there a while. And he's saying, don't wither over there in Babylon. Work to prosper where you are because you will be coming back. Remember when they went to Egypt? 70 of them went down to Egypt. How many came out? A couple million. In those 400 plus years, they were multiplying, they were growing. Actually, they were getting very comfortable in Egypt until a Pharaoh came along and said, wait a minute, we got a problem. There's going to be more of them than us. And he started tightening the screws. And God's saying the same thing here. Look, you're going to be down, you're going to be over there in Babylon for 70 years. Don't let yourself wither. Get comfortable, plant your vineyards, plant your trees. Eat of the fruit thereof, have your houses, build your families. He's saying, and basically, wait out your time. Now, the people up to this point had rejected what Jeremiah said. And no doubt there was people among them that was agitating and saying we need to rebel over there in Babylon. And God is saying, no, rebelling's not going to do you any good because I put you here, I'm going to keep you here. So he says, build houses and gardens, verse 5. Have families, verse 6. Verse 7, look at this one. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. He says, pray for Babylon. Can you imagine this letter coming to the Jews? And you kind of think, no wonder they hated Jeremiah. They've been carried off from their homeland. They've been carried off from the temple. They've been carried off from everything they've ever known. They're captives in Babylon. And Jeremiah's writing and saying, God says you ought to pray for Babylon. They weren't happy campers. And then we see this. In verses 8 through 14, he talks about there is hope, there is relief ahead. After telling these people to settle down, the Lord lifts up their eyes to what's ahead. By the way, backing up to verse 7 about being good citizens where they are, you know, that's a good principle for us. See, those people, the Jews, were citizens of Jerusalem, weren't they? And they're carried off. They're in a foreign land, and God says, you need to be good citizens in that foreign land and lights to the people of that land. You know, God's intention for the Jews was to be lights to the world. God had given them that special gift of being his chosen people so he could bless them when they lived according to his laws and bless them abundantly, and the world would see that and the world would come to God because their God is the real God who can watch over them and protect them and provide for them. But the Jews wouldn't live according to God. And so instead of being a light to the world, they were a blight to the world. Amen. And you know, sometimes that's the testimony of Christianity in our country. Instead of being a light to the world, we're a blight to the world. Well, anyway, there's relief. In verses 8 and 9, he talks about the hope, but he says it's a false hope. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you, the people among you over there in Babylon, deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye caused to be dreamed. I didn't give you those dreams. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them. Wow. He talks about a false hope. Now, their captivity wasn't going to live forever. But in the midst of this exile, these false prophets were still around, and the prophets and diviners claimed to receive dreams from God, that they their dreams were that they were going back to Jerusalem. And it was going to be soon. Well, that's not what God said. So he says, don't believe these people. And then when we get down to verses 10 through 14, he talks about the real hope. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. God says, I have not abandoned you. I have sent you there, and I'm going to keep you there 70 years. And after that 70 years, I am going to bring you back. That's what he's telling them here. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Notice that, with all your heart. When you repent and when you finally come to realize what's going on here and why and you really want me, I'm going to hear from you. And he says, my thoughts are still toward you. He's saying to them, I made a promise to Abraham way back when. And my promises are always good. I'm going to keep my promise. Now, we got a little bump in the road here where I have to deal with you, but I've not forgotten you. And you're still my chosen people. And can I remind you, they're still his chosen people. He's not done with them. All right? He says, there has to be repentance. In verses 12 and 13, it wouldn't come at the cost of God's righteousness. God wasn't going to excuse them. God says, when you get your head on straight and you repent, that's when I'm bringing you back. To return to the Lord, Judah would need to search for him with all their heart. Shallow repentance or shallow over the consequences of sin are insufficient. Look up here, I'm going to say it again. Shallow repentance and repentance over the results of your sin are not what God's looking for. God's looking for repentance because you've gone against him and you're sorrowed in your heart that you've violated him. See, a lot of people will repent because of the consequences. They're not sorry for what they did. They're sorry they got caught. God says, oh, no, that's not repentance. Repentance is that change of your mind and your heart that results in a change of your actions. A turning. So these people we're just going to live any way we want. We're not going to obey God. We're going to violate his Sabbath. We're going to go after the heathen gods. But after a while in Babylon, they started searching for God. Now we need you. Well, the disaster. By the way, there was restoration. But then there's disaster. In verses 15 through 20. Because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon. So the people were saying, hey, God has given us prophets over here. We don't need to listen to this Jeremiah guy. And there were men over there in Babylon saying, we're prophets of God. We hear from him. Listen to our message. And so the voice of the Lord here in verse 15. And in verse 16, know that thus saith the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David and of all the people that dwelt in it. Now he's describing himself. This is the Lord that's speaking. He's the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David and of all the people that dwelleth in this city and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity. God is the Lord of all. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of all heaven and earth. He's reminding them that he's even the Lord over Babylon. Once again, he's the sovereign. He's the mighty one. He says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. Well, here's a swift judgment that God's going to bring. Another installment of God's judgment was coming, and contrary to what the false prophet said, the Lord wasn't done punishing his people. He said they were spiritually rotten in verse 17. They were like rotten figs. Well, I don't know if you eat a lot of figs. I don't. But I love to eat apples. So imagine a rotten apple. What do you do with it? You don't eat it. No, it's not worth anything. That's what he's saying about these people. You're like rotten figs. He He says, you're a reproach to the nations in verse 18. And I will persecute them with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence and will deliver them to be removed, all the kings of the earth to be accursed, and an astonishment and a hissing and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them. Because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord. God says, listen, there's still more to come. And that's what that three different deportations is about. See, God had not yet finished that third deportation where he would absolutely annihilate Jerusalem, so to speak, destroy the temple, and carry off the almost all the remainder. There were very few people left. God says, hey, I'm not done yet. You're spiritually rotten. Even though I've carried you off, you still haven't gotten right. He says, you have ears that won't hear. Oh, my. He says, in verses 19 and 20, hear ye therefore a word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab, the son of Kaliah, and of Zedekiah, the son of Messiah, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He shall slay them before your eyes. And of them shall be taken up a curse by all the captivity of Judah, which are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. He was saying, I'm going to have them judged. They're going to be roasted alive. And it's going to become a common saying among the people, if you wanted to curse somebody, if you wanted to say something bad to them and about them, you said, let you be like Zedekiah and Ahab. Let you be roasted in the fire. Their name's going to be mud, so to speak. He said, you have ears that won't hear. You know, I thought about these people rejected what Jeremiah said. This is what God says. And they would rather submit to these false prophets than to believe the word of God. See, here's the problem. You look up here a minute. These false prophets were telling them what they wanted to hear. We're going back to Jerusalem, maybe this week, maybe next week, maybe next month. Soon, we're going back to Jerusalem. That was a lie. But they loved it. It was good news. And here's Jeremiah giving them the real news. You ain't going anywhere, buddy. You're here for 70 years. And it's going to get a lot worse than what it is. So they reject Jeremiah. And they love the false prophets. You see a correlation with today? If you tell people what they want to hear, you can get 25,000. If you tell people what they don't want to hear, you get 100, maybe. See, listen, I preached on hell Sunday. People don't want to hear that. I said in my opening remarks, this is not preached in many churches today. You won't hear Joel talk about hell. That's a negative. And in many so-called fundamental Bible-believing churches, they don't want to preach on hell. It makes people uncomfortable. Why, Mr. Big Tither might get upset and leave. People don't want to hear about a judgment. Christians don't want to hear that they're responsible and one day they're going to have to give an account of themselves before God. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear about heaven, how wonderful it's going to be and how we're going to reap rewards and everything's going to be so great. They want to hear about how much God loves us. Well, yeah, that's part of it. But there's what's called the whole counsel of God that a preacher's required to preach. That means the negative and the positive. That means the truth. Well, it was the same in their day. People want to hear the good. They don't want to hear the truth. Well, then we see this. He mentions three false prophets. Ahab and Zedekiah. Verses 21 through 32, he talks about these people. And how God describes them. They committed adultery. They spoke lies in God's name. Listen, God's very much aware of what's going on. And the false prophets will ultimately pay a price. We've seen many of them fall. See, when these guys get Mr. Big, and they have all the money, and they have all the power, many of them get to thinking that they're above the law. They're above the rules. They are a law unto themselves. They can do whatever they please. How many have we read about that got into immorality? And by the way, we see that going across our country, not just in ministry, but across the board. We're hearing about all these men who are in places of authority and power and wealth, and they think they can do whatever they want to women or men, some of them, because of their position. And they're untouchable. But suddenly they're getting touched. Sometimes that's where some of these big name preachers go. I've known some. Yeah. I know one who's right now, I guess he's still in jail. He got 10 years. Yeah. Big name preacher. He thought he was above the law. He could do whatever he wanted. If he wanted to carry on with a 16-year-old girl, it's his business. But see, the law didn't see it that way. Well, God says, hey, these fellas think they can do whatever they want. How are they going to feel when old Nebuchadnezzar's roasting them over a fire? Hey, you can mess around with God if you want to. I ain't doing it. And then there's Ahab and Zedekiah. And then there's this guy, Shemaiah had the audacity to attack God's man. Now, that's a dangerous place to be. I don't say it because I'm a preacher. I say it because it's true. When God's man's doing God's business and he's doing the right, better not come against him. Because you're not coming against him, you're coming against God. So Shemaiah writes here, and he opposes God's servant Jeremiah, and this guy had taken upon himself, on his own authority, to write to Zephaniah, one of the priests in Jerusalem. Now remember, the priests have a lot of power in Jerusalem. They're the rulers, so to speak. And so he writes to Zephaniah, and he tells him, listen, you have the authority. You're the priest. You're responsible to take care of heretics. And he says, this guy Jeremiah, you need to rebuke him and you need to imprison him and you need to silence him. Why? Zephaniah, don't you know he wrote to us over here and he had the audacity to tell us to get comfortable over here? We're looking to come home. And he's saying we're not coming home for 70 years. He's discouraging the people. He's telling them stuff that they don't want to hear and isn't pleasant. Well, this fellow didn't get away with his sin. In let's see, verse 29. I like this. Look at verse 29. I love this. So this fellow Shemaiah writes a letter to Zephaniah. You need to get rid of this guy Jeremiah. You know what Zephaniah did? He took the letter over to Jeremiah. It'd be like somebody writing you a bad letter about me, thinking that you would come against me and be on their side, you know. By the way, that does happen. But instead of you being on their side and siding with them, you bring the letter to me and show me what they're up to. That's what happened here. Zephaniah takes the letter to Jeremiah. Hey, Jeremiah, look what this guy's writing. Ooh. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah. He says, send all them of the captivity, saying, hey, send to those people over there. Thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah, the Nehelamite, because that Shemaiah hath prophesied unto you, and I send him not, he caused you to trust a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah, the Nehelamite, and his seed. So not only is this man going to pay the price, all of his seed, all of his future generations, so to speak, he said, they're going to pay the price too. And here's what he said. He shall not have a man to dwell among this people, neither shall he behold the good that I do for my people, saith the Lord. Because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord. He's never coming back. None of his people will ever set foot in Jerusalem again. I'll see to it, God said. You know, you don't trifle with God. Shemaiah did. How'd that work out for him? Well, God had to deal with him. And now God has given him the facts. And now we'll see this as we come into the next chapters. We're coming into some prophecies. And it's going to talk about the last days. It's going to talk about some other things. But tonight we're looking at God's time. Most of you have probably learned like I have. You can't hurry God up. We often try. We want things in our time, and you can't dictate to God. You can't tell God what to do. He's done whatsoever he pleased. He's the sovereign. You know, I'm fearful for our generations today because they're not learning to respect authority. They're being taught that they can call the shots, that they can have everything their way. Well, if you've lived a little while on this earth, you found out you can't have everything your way. And this carries over into the spiritual realm. We have generations coming up that have no respect for God at all. It's not just that they're not saved. They have no respect for God. They believe that they can call all the shots themselves and there's no result. How's that working out for them? Look at the world we're living in. Look at our country. It's a whole lot different than when this country, by and large, believed in God. Not that everybody was saved, but there was a respect, a reverence for God. Well, there's a lot more to come in Jeremiah. I hope that helps you with this chapter. And don't forget, hang on to your little... Because I'm telling you, sometimes I would get confused with, where are we? Hope that'll help. Father, thank you again for this man and his stand, his willingness to do your will in spite of the opposition. And thank you for how you vindicated him time and time again. Lord, man can oppose us, but he can't oppose you. You are the sovereign of everything. You are in control. Help us to live with that realization and help us not to try to hurry you up. Help us not to try to get you to conform to our will. Help us to be clay in your hands and allow you to be who you want to be and should be, the Lord of our life. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.